How's that?
The Apache smiled gently at Christie.
Ryan knows that if we survived, I wanted to say farewell to you all and remain.
And do what?
The whole ville was abuzz with talk of Outlander 10 from 10. I hear from Piraquad's crew that the Indian acquitted himself well and bravely against the monsters of the deep.
I shall sail back with the Phoenix. When the Salvation is sold at public auction, unless the woman betters you, Ryan, then I may ship on her as first harpooner. More with Captain Deacon here.
He smiled again, eyes glinting behind the polished lenses of his glasses.
It will all depend on who offers me the best lay of the prophets.
Deacon patted him on the shoulder.
It will be me, I promise thee, my lofty friend. And thou wilt look right handsome in one of my red sweaters, I'll warrant.
The last goodbyes and hand clasps were of necessity very brief. Every minute that passed put Piraquad and her taciturn first mate another 100 paces away from them. Laurie smiled at Donphil and turned her face to accept a kiss on the cheek. Jack shook his hand.
Try and grow a little, Eyes of Wolf.
You try and shrink a bit.
JB shook hands firmly.
Always watch your back.
Donphil nodded. Half bowing, Doc Tanner placed one hand over his heart.
I swear that I shall greatly miss your friendship and your wisdom. I truly will. I fear that some specks of this damned mist have got into my eyes.
Donphil stooped and clutched the old man to his chest, arms enfolding him.
I have enjoyed being with you, Dr. Tanner, and I shall miss you. Miss you very much, I think.
Gaia go with you, Donphil.
And Isun ride always at your shoulder, fire hair woman.
Christie held out the small black polished stone.
I shall keep this Apache tear with me forever, Donphil. And it will hold your memory for me.
Ryan was last. The whaleboat rocked gently below him, provisioned and watered by Captain Deacon's men. The whaling irons were still in their place, laid on the starboard side, close to the harpooner's position in the bow. Donphil took off his reflecting shades, nodding solemnly.
I do not think we shall ever meet again, Ryan Cotter. This is a good day to part, I think. Good luck, and may all your gods go with you.
We might see you again in Claggartville if we don't hunt down the Bitch Queen before then.
No, Ryan. I do not see that happening. I see you leaving and going into a darkness. But I do not see us meeting again.
Fair enough, Donphil. Then, goodbye.
After a brief, firm handshake, Ryan straddled the rail of the Salvation. Captain Deacon lifted his hand to the peak of his cap in a salute, which Ryan returned, then swung easily down the rope, taking his place in the narrow bow of the whaleboat. JB was at the tiller, the other four manning the long oars.
Sure you know your course? Dawn will be on the way in an hour. Keep it to your starboard hand, and you cannot go wrong.
Raggedly, they began to row, the rudder hard over to carry them away from the two ships, still tethered together. The red-sweatered crew of the Phoenix lined the side. The fog was patchy, lying low on the dull gray surface of the Atlantic. Ryan in the bow stared behind them, seeing the bulk of the Phoenix vanish, but the top spars of both vessels were still visible. There was clearly a light breeze springing up, and a bright moon peeked through the mist. When they were a good 200 yards off, Ryan took one last glance backward over his friends' heads and saw the very top of the Salvation's mainmast, with the ensign fluttering in the pallid silver glow. As it folded on itself, he saw the crimson shape against the darkness. Once more he was struck by how much like a bloody skull was Piraquad's chosen flag.
In and out and in and out. Try and keep it together, Doc. You'll have us crabbing around in circles.
The next time that Ryan looked astern, both ships had totally disappeared in the shifting murk. He turned and looked only ahead, watching for the first sign of the distant shore. It wasn't as easy as Ryan had thought. The tide was turning, ebbing away from the invisible coast, bringing with it a powerful offshore current. It tugged at the whaleboat with its inexperienced crew, making forward progress difficult. The mist was dissipating, but hanging in pockets here and there. Ryan could sometimes see clearly ahead for close to a quarter of a mile. Then, without warning, the fog descended once more, and he could hardly make out the hunched figure of JB gripping the carved tiller.
Are we still moving forward?
Yeah. Bend your backs, my hearties, and pull and pull.
Shut the fuck up and come row yourself.
At least it'll be even harder for Pirquad and Sarasog. Just two of them to row and no hand to steer. I reckon we could be closing in real fast on them.
Dawn's coming. If this fog gets worse, they could come up on us unseen, like we did on the Phoenix. Better if Christy takes lookout, Jack steers, and watches from back. They got the best eyes of anyone here.
I can see well, and I'm the tiredest. Why can't I have some rests and watched out? It isn't fucking fair!
Doc was too exhausted to reproach her for the bad language.
Don't shout out like that. If that woman's near ahead of us, you'll warn her we're closing in. Sound carries a long way over water. Uncle Tyus McCann taught me that, back at the Ville of Harmony. So everyone try to keep real quiet.
Dawn came, but the last lingering tendrils of fog didn't clear. Visibility still varied between 10 and 100 feet. The sea remained completely calm. Once, Christy asked everyone to stop rowing, which they were happy to do, while she listened intently.
Yeah. I can hear waves on rocks, or shingle maybe. Difficult to tell. I guess it's within a quarter mile or so.
Anything else? Nothing like rowing or voices?
Sorry, lover. Nothing at all.
There's something dragging at my oar. Saw it on Doc's oar. Like thick rope.
I can feel it, my young colleague, pulling at the stroke. It could be weed of some sort, I imagine.
It's stopping my moving the rower.
They could all feel it now. Ryan lifted the blade from the sea, peering into the dismal, murky light. Fronds of shining brown cord were draped over the oar. They were about the thickness of a man's thumb, and one end vanished beneath the flat waves. As Ryan looked, there was a distinct tug, and he gripped the oar more tightly.
Fireblast, it's trying to...
Pulling it away from me! Can't hang on!
The girl's oar was plucked from her hand, sliding out of sight as neatly as a magician's illusion.
Lift them, quick!
The weed had a strength and purpose of its own, coiling its tendrils around the rower's blades and trying to draw them away. Ryan reached for his panga, dragging his oar in nearer to the boat and slashing at the loops of the weed. They parted easily enough, giving out a stinking ichor, the color and texture of molasses. The others used their knives to cut free, the severed ends of the weed falling limply into the ocean. Ryan glanced over the side of the boat and saw that they were trapped in a veritable pasture of the sentient plants. If plants they were.
We've got to get out of here.
The possibility of Pirquad's hearing them was forgotten in the urgency of the moment. Jack drew one of his throwing knives and hacked furiously at the slowly writhing cords.
It's all rudder!
As Ryan lowered his oar cautiously into the sea again, one of the pieces of weed looped lazily up, resting across his forearm, stinging him like 1,000 tiny fiery needles. He wrenched himself free, examining his skin and seeing there were rows of neat little punctures, each one proudly showing its own speck of bright blood.
Keep away from it!
If any of them went into the water, they were dead. The weed was thick and voracious enough to destroy any of them before they could be pulled back into the whaleboat.
Row for our lives!
For nearly a quarter of an hour, it was a touch-and-go battle, one of the hardest that Ryan had ever been involved in. His panga was the best weapon they had for hacking away at the brown fronds, and he shipped his oar, leaving it to the others to carry on with the rowing. Lori started to cry, slumping in the bottom of the boat, oblivious to the struggle of the others. Jack left the tiller and double-banked